It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. It's hour number 3 of the program coming at you in the Top 5 at 5, brought to you by David Britton and his team at Volunteer State Insurance Brokers. Folks, get registered for the free 4-day, 3-night stay, Daytona Beach. Go online to volunteerstateinsurance.com. Get registered now. Bear, what do you got? Best top 5 at 5 of all time, ladies and gentlemen. Just scintillating stuff this afternoon.
Sorry, Russ. Sorry, my man. I was muted. I've been trying to really pay attention to it. Number one.
Made the
biggest event on the NFL calendar in early July, Russ, is almost always the supplemental draft. But it appears that event won't be taking place this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
No supplemental draft? It's an outrage.
According to NFL.com, league has decided to pull the plug on this year's draft. Under the collective bargaining agreement, the NFL is given the option of holding the supplemental draft each year. And due to the coronavirus pandemic, the league clearly decided that having a draft wouldn't make any sense.
I mean, if we've lost the supplemental draft, I just don't know what to do with myself at this point. I never miss it.
I never knew anybody other than Terrell Pryor that was drafted in it. But after reading this article, I found a few other notables. Bernie Kosar, Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
And there was one other one.
You find a diamond in the rough. You find a diamond in the rough from time to time.
Absolutely. Number two, former Steelers coach Bill Cowher tested positive for the coronavirus back in March. That he and his wife, singer, did you know his wife is a singer? Veronica Stiegler, known by the stage name Queen V. They weren't tested for the virus when they were afflicted with symptoms in March, but they did test positive for antibodies a month later. He had been traveling
all
Bill
over. Bill Cowher is married to a stage singer, Queen V?
Yeah, Veronica Stiegler.
Sounds like a porn name.
I bet you won't say it to his face.
Well, hell no. I mean, does having a steel chin is having a steel chin a pre-existing condition for COVID?
I don't. Yeah, it's just I wouldn't mess with that dude. He ended on 50-50. Jeff, what was your health coach? Jeff Fisher.
Not 50-50. What did we call him?
50-50. That's what Chance always called him.
8-8. No, he was like. Damn it. What was it 50-50?
I'm pretty sure that's what Chance has always called him. So we celebrate 8-8 is Jeff Fisher Day.
Yeah. All right. Go on with yourself.
All right. Thank you, Russell. Number four, Alabama carries on its 5-star recruit streak with 2021 commitment from defensive end Dallas Turner. I wasn't aware of this streak, but Alabama apparently has had at least 2 5-star commitments in each recruiting class going back to the 2017 cycle, and the streak will continue in 2021 after defensive end Dallas Turner announced his commitment to the Crimson Tide on Wednesday.
Well, bully for them.
Yeah, I mean, the rich get richer. And number five, the 33rd anniversary, the big one, Russ, huge one. On this day in history, in 1987, can you tell me what event happened that directly affects me and you?
In 1987?
On this date in 1987.
I don't know.
New York City radio station WFAN AM commences the first 24-hour all sports radio for
WFAN signed on today?
Yep. July 1st, 1987.
It's an important day, man. The birth of a genre.
Exactly where I was.
You do?
Oh, yeah, I was in summer school or Central High School.
Where was I in the summer of 1987? 88.
Probably playing in a sandbox somewhere.
I'm surprised you didn't go with what happened 18 years ago today.
18 years ago today. That would be in 2002. I'm drawing a blank on that one.
Hold on. Let me double check this, Bear. Let me double check this because that 2002 is not lining up. Hold on.
1997 was another big one, Fulkerson. This was the date that the Nevada Athletic Commission suspended Mike Tyson indefinitely and withheld his $20 million purse for biting off of Evander Holyfield's ear during their heavyweight title fight a couple of days before.
No, it was okay. 2002, Bear. Big album dropped.
Huh. 2002. Do I like them?
Yes.
Standing on the Shoulder of Giants?
Heathen Chemistry.
By Oasis, that's right.
And you call yourself an Oasis super fan.
Oh, I am. I've commissioned a cornhole set with the Oasis logo on it.
That is the Top 5 at 5, presented by David Britt and his team at Volunteer State Insurance Group. Again, go online to volunteerstateinsurance.com. Get registered there. You've got through the weekend to enroll in a new health or life policy. He'll pay your first month's premium. Register for the beach trip at volunteerstateinsurance.com. Be sure to follow David on Twitter, at @dbritt_volstate. You'll be entered for a chance to win a free 4-day, 3-night stay at a beachfront condo in Daytona Beach. You get to pick the dates of your vacation between now and the end of the year. It's fantastic.
Oh, man, that does sound fantastic, to be honest with you. I got a little bit of breaking news from the SEC, Russ.
Okay.
So, full disclosure, I got this email, a little background here. I got this email from my father. My father buys season tickets. He's a season ticket holder for the SEC championship game. So pretty much he's had the same season ticket, same tickets for the SEC title game for 20 years. And like, you know, in his case, if Tennessee doesn't go, he'll sell them to Georgia fans or Alabama fans or whoever makes it.
Okay.
So the SEC has sent out an email to those fans that have season tickets. It says, our plan is to start championship game ticket sales when we know how many fans will be approved to attend the Mercedes-Benz Stadium football games. On April 1st, we announced the July 27th renewal start date, hoping we would have answers by mid-July. At this time, we don't expect any answers until August. There are still two big questions that remain unanswered. When will the football season start, which affects the championship game, and how many fans will be able to attend? It ends, before we confirm the start of ticket sales for the 2020 championship game, we are waiting on the Georgia local and state health departments to approve plans for fans to attend games at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So the SEC is not allowing folks to renew their tickets for the SEC championship game now.
And again, you know, SEC, that game will be indoors.
Yes.
And I think that's just something that's going to be a recurring theme. And quite frankly, is going to be a major obstacle for basketball to overcome. But we'll see.
I don't know. How do you take that? I mean, if they're not even – here's how I look at it too. And this is why my father sent me this. He goes, man, if they're saying I can't even renew right now just to renew and hold my place – I wonder how many people are going to actually be let in if they're allowed into the Mercedes-Benz Dome. So that part's intriguing to me, Russ. They're not even just taking the money yet and then issuing a refund if they don't have it. They're just plain not selling tickets.
Yeah, I don't know that I would read too much into it at this time. I mean,
I'm not reading it too much. I'm just looking from an SEC standpoint. You know what I mean? And also, I'm looking into the college football games that start the 2020 season in the Georgia Dome. There's two, I'm sorry, Mercedes-Benz game. There's two of those games this year. Florida State plays West Virginia in one of them.
Yeah, that's interesting. Have they said anything about fans at that?
No, not at all.
Because I'm sure they have a ton of tickets sold, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. FSU fans and West Virginia fans. And I'm forgetting the other one. The other one involves an SEC team. So I'll have to look and see which one that is.
I just think that, and look, I reserve the right to walk this opinion back because I haven't been consistent about this all at all since all this started. There at the beginning, I didn't think they were going to have fans. At one point, I didn't think they were going to have the season. Then I thought they were going to have the season with fans, and then maybe no fans. And just right now, 1st of July, and again, this could change by the end of the week. It almost certainly will change by the end of the month. I don't know, but it just seems right now that if you want to have college football, you're going to have to do two things. You're going to have to do what all these leagues in Europe have done, which is say no fans, first of all. There's no fans. And then second of all, you're going to have – and this is going to be the tough part for – saying no fans is easy. It's going to hurt in the pocketbook, but it's easy to do, and it's just a clean break. At that point, so much planning goes – you don't have to worry about people in masks at the gate and checking temperature. Like, all that stuff's off the table, right? The hard part is the second part, which is I believe that if you're going to have college football, that the players are going to have to be quarantined in dorms. And not all leagues, not all conferences are going to be able to do this. The SEC certainly can do it, but I haven't really heard anybody talking about it like that yet. I just believe that if you're going to say the kids are going to class in big classrooms with 100 other kids who've been going to bars and parties and all the things that college kids do, you're going to have massive COVID outbreaks throughout the season. You're going to have teams forfeiting games, teams shutting down for the season, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. I don't mean to be too alarmist, Bear. I mean, I feel like I haven't been full alarmist in a while, a month or two. I feel like I'm entitled to go full crazy here this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Get Westchester in here.
Speaking of crazy,
Westchester,
full crazy. Let's get Westchester in here.
I thought it was a great segue.
It was a great segue. I appreciate that. Russ, Trey, Bear, any of y'all know what percentage of season tickets are held by donors at UT for football?
Do you know?
I have no clue,
what
man.
Percentage? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
There's around 55 to 62,000.
All right, so let's just call it 50. Let's ballpark it at 50. Even at 50, we're not getting every donor into the stadium. We're not making everybody happy.
Absolutely.
Even if you tell all the non-donors you can't have tickets, we can't do 50 this season, right?
And you also, Westchester, have to remember, Baron Russell, this was pointed out to me. I actually looked on the website, and sorry, but I have a close family member, and there's actually a point system in where you rank when it comes to season ticket holders. So the person I was speaking with ranked 995th out of, I think the number was 16,000. So, yeah, that's an
– Yeah, I didn't realize they were still doing the points. I knew they were doing the donor. I know the points have been around forever, and I just didn't know where that was. So – basically, you either did one or two things. I mean, the university was stupid enough to take all the donations or smart enough to take all the donations in May. So now they have to deal with the fact that they're going to tell some of these donors that they're not going to get to go, or they're going to tell all of them. But let's be honest, this is going to be like the early days of football where the rich people get to go. You're not going to convince me that you're going to hold a game at Neyland Stadium without the skyboxes having some fans on them. I mean, that's just not – you can tell me whatever you want to. And you guys can play the card and whatever, but there's no way I believe that there will be zero fans in Neyland Stadium this fall. It may be a couple thousand, but there'll be fans in there.
I would imagine there will be some people will manage to get their way in, whether that's people buying their way in or, you know, some workers who just know a guy or something. Like, I don't know. Yeah, but I'm sure that there will be some people who manage to get into the games, even if they do say they're closed and no tickets.
Because, I mean, even if you take – I mean, you know, if the numbers are that high, and I believe they are, I think it's probably around 50, 55, or 60, whatever, or donation. Even if you just do those and do just like a random lottery, that's still way too many people. And if you start at the top and work your way down, what do you do as far as refunding money for donations? And as far as, you know, nobody's paid for season tickets yet, as far as I know, for this year. So, I don't know. It's a crazy world we live in. But, Russ, I don't want to
pay for tickets, Westchester.
They have paid?
Yes, they were paid in April and May.
Okay, so with the donation came the ticket cost?
Yeah, so the people I've spoken with, they put a donation in May. Actually, yeah. I'll be real, I'll break it down for you. They put the donation in when Tennessee went hot on the recruiting trail. And they reserved their tickets for the upcoming season. I know of about six people that actually did that.
So, you know, what do you do? Do you give them next year for free and say you can't go this year? Who knows? But it's going to be nuts. I mean, there's no easy answer, and I don't want Plummer's job right now.
No, it's a disaster, man. I mean, they're going to lose. If you can't have fans in the stadium, that's $30 million lost. Boom, just like that.
But you got to, they're not like lost, but you got to get back.
I mean, how are you going to make up $30 million?
TV revenue is great, but it's not that great. Russ, you guys were talking about high school sports a little bit earlier, and I'm only familiar with the gate split on playoff games. I'm not familiar with how the gate works on TSSAA home games. All I know is for playoff games that the opposing team gets a cut, the road team gets a cut of the gate, and TSSAA gets a very generous cut of the gate, and then the home team gets the rest, and that the most of the money that is made by high school sports is on concessions and merchandise. And I'm just not sure how many people are going to want a hamburger made by somebody else at a football game this fall, even if we have high school sports. But I could be crazy on the gate, but I don't think the gate is their main revenue source for the regular season. Can anybody tell me I'm absolutely wrong on that, Bear?
I don't think anybody can tell you you're absolutely wrong, Westchester.
But, I mean, I could have an answer for you tomorrow. I'd have to make some calls. TSSAA, yeah. I mean, that's the reason they're bound and determined to have those playoff games. They make a ton of money at the playoffs. They don't get anywhere near the cut they do during regular season. So
I know they get a heck of a cut during the playoffs. So
yeah,
but I don't know. We'll see what happens. I what's really funny to me is this whole idea of switching, because I've been a fan of it for the last couple of months of switching the seasons around. But let's be serious for a minute here. We're gonna have something else. We're gonna have some other generation of this virus or something else this fall and winter that comes up. And we're not guaranteed spring sports at this minute. So if we can't guarantee fall, we can't guarantee spring either. So why are we even thinking, and again, I know I've pushed this, but why is moving sports back even a possible idea at this point? It's a pipe dream, right?
I don't think anything is off the table at this point. The problem is the season is supposed to start in September, so you got 2 months, and the clock is ticking. Nothing should be off the table, but at some point, some decisions are going to have to be made. Some hard decisions are going to have to be made, and I think that date is fast approaching, somewhere towards the end of the month, beginning of next month.
One more question, then I'll get off here. I hear everybody saying MLB is back. I mean, where are we on that? Do they have dates set? Do they have contracts signed? Where are we on the MLB?
My understanding of it is, and thanks for the call, Westchester, my understanding of it is that they are planning on starting at the end of the month, and teams are in the process of reporting and trying to lock down and get a little, I guess, not spring training, summer training, I would say.
Yeah, preseason camp.
They're testing everybody right now, just trying to figure out where they're at. I saw where they won't be able to specifically announce a COVID injured list placement for a player if they have a positive test. So that's going to be weird. Guys are just like suddenly out, you know.
I love how put it. Right. Bears boy said, if a player's out, I guess you'll just have to put two and two together while he's out.
Yeah. Well, it'll lead to all sorts of speculation. And, you know, if you've got a knee injury, it's like, yeah, I don't know. Is there a stigma against having it? There really shouldn't be, right? I mean, there's nothing you can do. Nobody is.
No, but, I mean, there's HIPAA and all that you can't.
Well, yeah, but people are going to just assume, like Trey's saying, that if a guy's out and he's not publicly said, well, yeah, I got a shoulder strain or something like that, we're all just going to assume he's got COVID, right?
Yeah, probably.
Let's take a quick break.
I mean, we will.
Finish your thought, Bear.
I was going to say we will, but, I mean, we're the kings of, speculation. What do you call it? Yeah, speculation station. That's all we do. That's what we do best.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio coming up. We'll get more of your phone calls in here. Plus, we'll play Jam or Not a Jam. The Drive continues after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive rages on. Citizens National Bank is the official bank of The Drive. You can check them out online at cnbtn.com. Get the good life, the good life checking. Call 865-453-9031 for details. They've got simple, straightforward checking accounts for you as well, if that's what you need. cnbtn.com. Jeff is next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Governor.
What up?
Hey, I wanted to chime in on the COVID deal. I don't understand why we're not just playing the game and have everyone come, you know, with the exception of elderly people, those that are at risk, basically banning them. All right. Everyone else sign a waiver. That limits liability to the university and NCAA. I mean, sounds like herd immunity. I mean, a great way to get herd immunity real quick. And, you know, I heard a stat today that you're more likely to die in a car wreck than you are to die of COVID if you're, like, under 50 or something. I mean, why are we buying in to this garbage that this is some, like, death-altering or inducing situation for the bulk of the people? I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's like, just go along with our lives. It's a election year. Like, and quite frankly, Russell, I'm not calling you a sheep, but I feel like no one's being the voice that's like calling this just ridiculous. It's like we're just all just sort of falling in line. Yep, this is the end of the world. You know, do your part, stay apart.
Who said it's the end of the world?
Well, everybody.
Says it's the end of the world?
No. Everyone, I mean, most of the people that have a voice, what I'm saying is this is going to cause, like, we've not seen the impact. Sports is just minimal, okay? This is causing irreversible damage to our economy. Like, sports is a big part of it, obviously. But y'all just mentioned a minute ago, $30 million, $35 million in just ticket revenue alone. How are you going to make that up? And now if this was something, you know, you see, you know, out of a movie or whatever where people are dying and it knows no, you know, it's affecting everyone, obviously. But we're talking like a death rate of less than nearly a percent, and mainly those are skewed because it's, considering all the ages. Like, I just wish people were more, Fulmer, he said, I'm planning on having the stadium full. If you had more people doing that, and you had people listening to the doctors that are saying, go to school, kids should go to school, that we don't recommend social distancing with children, they're at little to no risk. Like,
wait, what doctor has said they don't recommend social distancing at school?
Elementary school, some system out there that actually preschool, or I can't think of it right now. Just Google it. But
Google it. Jeff. We had Dr. Bill Maurice on from, he's the head of pathology and labs at the Mayo Clinic, and he's been nice enough to come on several times with us on the show. And is this, like, nobody's being hysterical here. If you listen to Dr. Maurice, he's said all along, it's like, yeah, we've got to strike a balance between going about our normal lives so that people can have a good quality of life and we don't tank the American economy, while also protecting people. And he said, you just have to use some common sense, because here's the thing, Jeff, yes, that's the worst thing that could happen to a person, but it's not the only thing. There's all sorts of different possible outcomes in between, many of which we don't know because it's still so early. This virus has been on the scene for less than a year, but you've got people coming out with significant cardiovascular issues after this, significant pulmonary issues after this that might be lifelong. And if we're talking about college football players, and you're seeing a lot of athletes in baseball, basketball, and now college football, there's a guy from Illinois, their star wide receiver, out there saying today, he's like, hold on, I don't necessarily, I realize that my chances of dying are very small, but I want to be a professional athlete. And if I have even 10% diminished lung capacity going forward, that is greatly going to hamper my ability to earn and provide for my family. So we're not saying that nobody gets to do anything and let's shut down the economy again and there's never going to be football anymore. All we're saying is let's be careful about how we go about this.
Right, but I feel like that we're letting the narrative sort of be the rule, and we're not, thinking objectively, and we're more, everyone's just trying to kind of cover their hind end and err on the side of unbelievable caution to the point that it's illogical.
I'm sitting in a radio station today with three other dudes. We're doing our show. We all drove here. My day has not been significantly impacted other than the 10 times or so that I've washed my hand. Like, that's like, what is that? I don't see what's so hysterical about asking to keep, a 6-foot distance between other people.
I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying I think it all points to the election year. You watch, November comes around.
Jeff, I love you, buddy, but you're all over the place today. Thank you for the phone call. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, let's bring in the great Tanner Carson, ladies and gentlemen, as we get prepared to play Jam or Not a Jam. But
put some respect on his name, Russ.
Who?
TC? Yeah. Tanner Carson.
Was I disrespectful just now, Tanner?
You didn't have the same verb and vigor that you usually
do. I feel like the whole world's lost there. Like, people are saying, why is this happening? And I'll just look around and say, it's not really happening. And Jeff paints a picture of, like, I don't know. I had lunch with the great Jerry R. Givens earlier today at the Carolina Ale House, and it's business as normal out there. Like, the fact that we're not talking about full stadiums coming to football, I mean, I don't know, man. How many times do we have to explain this to people? And we are not the ones to explain it.
No. Recommend everybody go back and listen to our interview with Dr. Murray. And just listen with an open mind. And
if you don't want to listen to us, don't listen to us. Like, for We're a couple of idiots who are just hoping that there's football play. Like, that's all I care about. Show you the like the numbskull thoughts that go through my mind. That's why we have people like that on to break it down for us and tell us where we're at. And like there's a middle road to hoe here. No, everybody's not idiots who've lost their mind and can't interpret data. That's stupid. And no, we shouldn't shut everything down and just stay in our houses and not come out again until it's to get a vaccine. There's a middle way here. Here's the thing. If people will embrace that middle way, a safe style of living, wash your hands, don't touch your face, maintain social distance, and wear a mask, guess what? You'll be able to go to the football games. You'll be able to do all the stuff.
Hey, Russ, it's kind of...
But if you don't,
yeah,
you're where we are today.
Hey, Russ, it's kind of like what I said, a week ago when we were talking about the mask thing. I can be pro-mask, but that doesn't mean I'm not reopen the economy and don't shut everything down. You can do both. I think some people are forgetting that you can do two things at once.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean...
What's the magic number they're talking about? It's 80%. 80% of the population would just wear the damn mask. And be careful, social distance. If we'd done this back in March when this all started, we'd be, you know, just about out of it and have a, you know, just a better plan. But, you know, clinging to a low death rate, I mean, there's a reason it's a novel virus. They have no idea what long-term health effects are going to be. And I'd hate to get, you know, a year down the road and find out that there's, you know, you may not die from it, but, you know, if you get it, it could take 10 years off your life and you're going to have, you know, cardiac, you know, renal problems.
Well, there's an article that Bear actually sent me today from Yahoo Sports this idea that Clemson is trying to achieve herd immunity. And it had like...
Insane.
Well, it had... First of all, it had a couple of medical professionals say, theoretically, which is basically what Dr. Maurice told us, is like, theoretically, yes. That's the way it works, is you get the flu and then you're immune for a couple of months. And so theoretically, yes, that's how it works. But two large unknowns. First of all, we don't know if that works because there have been some people who've gotten it twice. So, yeah, all these Clemson players might be immune, but for how long? A month? 2 months, maybe they buzzsaw through their season and then have another massive outbreak at the end. We don't know, which is the big point. And then the second point, which is what Bear was getting at just now, is yes, there are other possible consequences aside from death, which would obviously suck, but you could see severe damage to your lungs, your heart, your veins and arteries, and
your brain.
Yeah, your noggin,
kidneys,
so
liver.
Those are the things that we're trying to find out now as well. How you doing, Tanner?
I'm doing great, man. Great conversation. It's great.
Great.
Yeah, we have to. You think we're gonna have football? College football.
And this isn't just me being like an optimist just for the sake of being an optimist, because I usually try to be nuanced, but I still think they will play a season in some form or fashion. Now, that can mean a lot of things. That can mean you, like y'all were talking about yesterday, there's something similar to what happened with different teams in 1918 with the Spanish flu. Some teams might play almost a full season. Some may play 5 or 6 games. That can mean you play it in the spring. It can mean a lot of things. I think they'll have to get it done some way, because the financial, economic damage, if you just don't have a season, it's a whole lot to consider.
Well, that's another thing I hear. It's like, well, 1918, we had college football. We had a world war going on. We just played through. It's like, yeah, we didn't have antibiotics either. We didn't have the pill. We didn't have, widely available automobiles,
the internet. Yeah, they solved arthritis by cutting off your limbs back in the day, I'm pretty sure.
It was a little bit different. So, like, if we could all agree that we shouldn't use 1918 as a model for what
days to
do in 2020, then I think that can we at least agree on that?
Don't
that
you miss some good old days, Russ?
Yeah, I miss the good old days when women couldn't vote and we just, you know, rolled around in our own filth as a way to as a matter of public health. What do we got today, Tanner?
All righty, here comes today's edition of Jammer Not a Jam. Song one.
Sit back, relax, and let yourself go. Don't sweat what you heard, but act like you know.
Yes, this is my kind of hip hop.
Who got the vibe? It's the tribe, y'all.
Old school.
Inside, outside, come around. Who's that? Brown. Some may I say,
jam.
Call me Charlie. The word is the herb, and I'm deep like Bob Marley.
That's a jam. Tribe Called Quest?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll have to go jam, although I did gladly welcome when Dr. Dre and NWA brought the, you know.
G-Funk?
Kind of, yeah, and the West Coast sound. And yeah, I was never a huge fan of, it just seems kind of nursery school rhyme-ish to me, you know. But it is a jam,
man. Unanimous jam, Russell. Tribe Called Quest scenario.
What's the scenario?
Love a Tribe Called
What's
Quest.
What's the dealio?
Love De La Soul. Love all the old stuff. But like Bear, also like early 90s West Coast stuff.
Well, I think it's well-known fact that I have the most street cred on the drive. And when I tell you that a Tribe Called Quest is a jam, then you better listen to me. And know that it is, in fact, a jam. Go on with your segment.
All right, song two.
Oh, yeah. Smoking.
Woo! Are we going to discuss the way he ended his life?
Whoa, the guy from Boston?
Yeah, Bradley Delk, I think.
Offed himself?
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
About 2007.
Really?
Really?
Y'all
wait a
know?
Minute, the fog is clearing. I do know about this.
Do you know how he did it?
I
mean, it's sad. I don't want to act like I'm making fun of it, but it was unique, I guess.
It wasn't another erotic asphyxiation.
He locked
it?
Himself in his bathroom and like lit two charcoal grills on.
What?
Yeah, basically
what?
Poisoned himself. Yeah, in his bathroom.
God.
Yeah.
Call me old-fashioned, but I think you just stick the nose in the hose in the tailpipe and close the garage
door.
Yeah,
right? I don't know about that. Why not just eat like 60 Xanax and go to sleep?
He brought a couple.
Now we're big. Why did we do this right in the middle of jam or no jam? I mean, it's a source of happiness for me every day. I look forward to it at breakfast.
Well, we discussed Hutchins of NXS last week.
I just feel
Hutchins, number one.
Hutchins, my bad.
Usually wait till after we vote.
I just feel like Dr. Kevorkian in the 90s brought forth a very humane way of suicide, and we all turned our nose up and called him Dr. Death and shamed him, and now we've got the dude from Boston setting a couple of Komodo grills on fire in his bathroom, and he burned down his house too, man. I mean, like, what? That's insane. That's insane.
Anyway, is it a jam? After that.
Yes, it's a jam.
I should have saved the talk to after.
It's a
voting.
Huge jam.
Yeah, it's a jam.
That's a pretty good song. I'll give it a jam.
All right, back-to-back unanimous jams. R.I.P. Brad Delp, not Delk, by the way.
R.I.P. in peace.
All right, song three.
Whiny music. They're great. It's awful. Not a jam.
Oh,
not
Trey
jam.
Singing.
Oh, of Trey loves this one.
Incubus?
Yes.
More like succubus. Trey?
That's a damn jam.
There you go, Trey. There you go, Trey. Good
defend
take.
Your band. Dissent vociferously, Trey Wallace.
It's, I mean, back then, it's a cool song to get hot to and sit around and chill.
Trey Wallace, big
pothead,
fan of
back
wow,
in the day.
Okay.
Don't go there.
Take your word for it.
Damn it.
Not a jam, Drive by Incubus, Trey dissenting.
Well, I'll just say, man. I.
Why is that not a jam to you?
I think he thinks his voice is too whiny, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, they had some great songs.
They did have a lot of good songs.
It's rubbish.
Russell and Bear, bunch of old men. All right, so I'm four.
Guys that burnt down a bar.
They did.
Yeah, it was kind of unfortunate.
Let's just set that aside for a second. For the song. Is it a jam or not a jam? Yeah, it's a jam.
Nah. Recycled, you know, done 1,000 times blues, blues rock. Nah, I never liked them. Great White sucked. Mm. Not a jam.
They burned down a bar in Delaware. I don't like that song.
Rhode Island Bear.
Rhode Island. So what's the difference?
It's your new
tragically, how many people got killed that night?
It was pretty bad. It's pretty bad. 30? I thought it was like 70-something.
I don't know. We have to look it up.
You ever hear about that, Fulky?
The Great White nightclub.
It was playing like a nightclub with like 100, 130 people in it, and they had a pyrotechnic thing going, like shooting off fire behind them. It caught the club on fire. And there were only like 2 exits, and so there was a stampede, and like 50, 60 people died.
Got the death toll right here, by the way. So, yeah, it was caused by ignition of acoustic foam by use of fireworks. Hey, we got acoustic foam right behind you, Russell.
What?
Shouldn't be bringing any fireworks in here. Yeah, that foam. Acoustics. Helps with sound. 100 people died.
Well, there are so many good, right on the dot, 100?
100, yeah.
How about that? Like, there's so many good quality exits to this building that I feel like I could get out easy.
Yeah, you're good, bro.
A lot of windows to get out of as well.
That is the reason that the red button is there on that wall.
Yeah, but was our station on fire when you pressed it, Bear?
What's that going to do? If the station is on fire to the point where I can't get out of the door, I'm going to turn off the electricity. I'm still going to burn to death.
But it's about the firemen who are going to come in and put it out.
I would like for it to be about me when I'm in the burning building, though.
Yeah, so they can go ahead and douse my smoldering corpse. That's great.
I hope it's comfortable for the firemen to put out my corpse.
You know, if it's an electrical fire, by pushing the red button, you could possibly...
Oh, well, I guess I have to die in here with Tanner and Folky, but at least I can press this red button and the firefighters who come and put this blaze out won't have to worry about that. How heroic.
You wouldn't die with anyone else, Russ. You wouldn't want to die with anyone else, I'm sure.
I could name about 100 people, but no offense, guys.
None taken. All right, so yeah, Once Bitten, Twice Shy, Great White, not a jam. Russell dissenting. Here comes the final song.
Just all.
Well, I don't know why you continue to play stuff along this, you know, this vein of music. I mean, Russell told me when I started this
to play different genres.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I don't want to play all jams. That's not a jam. I feel like it's been a good mix. A couple of jams, a couple not a jams. That most certainly not a jam.
No, absolutely not a jam.
That is Little Big Town, and I will say when it first came out, thought it was a jam.
I feel like that's not really answering the question. Is it a jam?
Damn it, yes, it's a jam. You just always set me up.
Not a setup. You got to answer the question. Can't say, it's a jam
but
in 1972. Is it a jam
like
right here, right now? Jesus Jones.
Terry thinks it's a jam. Bear and Russell, y'all hate on that, even though one of the girls from that group is a UT alum.
What group is it?
Little Big Town.
Is that the one with the long, curly, blonde hair?
Big, blonde, curly hair, Kimberly, yeah, UT alum.
Yeah, I mean, she's flat out. I mean, she's a 10. I mean, she's a smoke show, but, I mean, her band sucks.
Wish you had gone into a different line of work. All right, Tanner, good stuff on Jam or Not a Jam this afternoon. Some of it, anyway. What do we have coming up on Overtime?
Hopefully, we will get Lucas Panzeca on the show.
Oh.
Our boy Lucas. Hopefully, he will be making his weekly appearance on the program. Going to be talking a lot of COVID-related news as it pertains to college football, NFL, NBA restart. And also, there was an interesting thread on Twitter today that I want to discuss on the program about just the craziest, most mind-blowing sports stat that always takes your breath away when you see it.
I saw that.
Did you see my contribution?
No. You want to whet our appetites a little bit?
I'll quickly give you my contribution. It was the first thing I thought of. Did you know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they won a Super Bowl before they had a player ever return a kickoff for a touchdown?
Really?
Yeah. They went like 30 years as a franchise without having a kickoff return as a touchdown.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Who ran
That's
one back
horrible.
From? DeSean Jackson?
No, it wasn't him. I forgot who it was, but.
Terrell
Owens. Yeah, I got one for you, Tanner.
Sure.
A little twist on you. You tell me what Rock and Roll Hall of Famer's birthday is today.
Today?
Your birthday guy.
Oh,
today.
See, I was just getting birthdays together. Oh, crap. Oh, wait, no, I saw it's Debbie Harry.
Yep.
Debbie Harry Blondie. Great.
75, great. Russ.
Absolute babe really? In the day. Absolute babe in the day.
Never really did it for me.
Who is that?
What do you mean she didn't do it for you?
Never really did it for me back in the day. I just didn't find her all that attractive.
Folky, take your spot back again. The phone's ringing.
She like one of those gals who just would wake up at 4 a.m. on a Sunday on the floor of the bathroom in the Chelsea Hotel with a syringe needle hanging out of her arm. Just kind of gave off that vibe.
I don't think she ever did intravenous drugs, Russ. I think it's a terrible thing to accuse her of.
You don't think Debbie Harry did drugs?
Shot heroin? I've never read anything that led me to believe that she did.
She was in Blondie.
Stars, I mean, call me crazy. I mean, it's not like she was, you know, Blondie wasn't like the Sex Pistols or anything.
Let's see. She admitted she's a drug user. Spent time in rehab clinic. Oh, yeah, she shot up.
Well, she did not. What kind of drugs? Say what kind of drugs
she was
on.
No, it just says drugs.
It was the 80s. I mean, she's probably on blow.
She wasn't going to rehab for marijuana. You in here for some weed? It's that chick from Blondie. The shocking conclusion of the Drive coming up. Keep it tuned right here. Back to wrap things up after this.
The Drive.
Wrapping up Wednesday afternoon edition of the show, let's get a call from Roger. Good afternoon, Roger. You're on the Drive.
Hey guys. How are we doing?
Big Rog, doing well. Thank you.
Good. Bruce, I have a question for you. I'm just curious about it, is coming from season, if we have a football season, we do have one. So I want to ask you, is our team, wide football team, and I know we haven't seen practice yet, but I just want to ask you, Bruce, I know a lot of people, coming back, defense wide, a lot of people coming back on defense, also offense. I just want to ask you, with that being said, with a lot of people coming back, can it help us this year and big game against Oklahoma and Florida and Georgia, a big team that can help us with us having fans now, have more fans come back that can help us be better at being in game. You think it help us to thank for us?
Yeah,
Oklahoma,
I think so.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we're going to be one of the most experienced teams in the league, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And now you can debate how good that experience is, but
yeah.
I mean, we've got guys who played a lot of football.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's to help us with iron. Bear, how about you? Bear, you think you can help us, Bear, this year? And more parents, better parents coming back, Bear?
Roger, Bear has left the chat early today,
okay.
But I can channel Bear, and if he were here, I think he would say, oh, yes, definitely, experience is good, but our quarterback isn't very good, even though he's experienced. I think that's exactly what Bear would say.
Right, yeah, that's the key. I think the quarterback should play. You know,
yep.
if we can have if we can have that, if we can have that, you know, I know it's a key, but if we can have, if we can have the comeback play better, it should be okay, you know, this year, you know, if we got a good comeback play playing better, you know, better, you know, better, but, you know, I feel confident. You feel confident in this year's team this year?
Yeah, I do, Roger, and it's a shame because I just feel like if the season goes off 100% normal, I feel like Tennessee's got a chance to really surprise some people and have a great year. But, man, it's been a rough couple of weeks as far as whether or not it is going to be normal. So we got to run, brother. Thanks for the phone call.
Okay, sure. Sure, bye-bye.
Trey, are we good here?
Yeah, look forward to tomorrow with Dane Haley from the NFL Network, former volunteer going to join us, and Barrett Solis. We should have a fun show tomorrow, man.
Awesome. Big thanks to John Not That Fulkerson for his hard work behind the scenes. That's going to do it for us. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime up next from 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.